Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about the books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, no.
For a taller man than me.
It's flattery, but no.
Yeah, you can just angle it down, sweetheart.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
That's happened at every show we've done, and I can't tell if people are like, no, wait. I want to give the chubby guy a complex. Cheer for his much more attractive, much smarter wife. Hold on. Now, this is the moment. Hey, everybody.
It's fine with me. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, Chicago.
It's easy.
Just keep doing that. That
Cubs.
Works.
Sammy Sosa. I don't know how we feel about Sammy Sosa right now. He may have been disgraced late in his career. My mom was a big Sammy Sosa fan. That's all I know about Sammy Sosa. Also, Al Capone from Chicago.
This is our show now. Justin names everything
thing
that
I know about
Chicago.
Here's my favorite Al Capone fact for you. I had friends growing up who went to school.
He actually had friends.
That's not the fact. I had friends growing up who went to school with a young man named, not making this up, D'Al Capone Jones. That was his legal name. I am happy, however, speaking of Al Capone, that Prohibition has ended, because the show would be much less funny, about 30% less funny. The blend is different every episode. And also, I'm not the sort of guy that would know where speakeasies are. Like, do you think I'm the sort of guy who's like, oh yeah, Justin knows the good speakeasies?
I don't know. I mean, you're pretty cool. You might know.
Thank you. That's the most charitable thing you've ever said to me.
I might know. I mean, I'd tell you. I would take you with me. So.
But yes, hooray for Prohibition ending.
Yeah. You know, there were other ways to get around Prohibition if you didn't know where to go to the local speakeasy.
That would absolutely be up my alley. So help me in case I'm ever in a time warp scenario.
Well, tonight we're concluding our trilogy.
Yes, our three-part segment.
Yes, on patent medicines.
Not just patent medicines, the heroes of patent medicine.
We've talked about patent medicines before on one of our shows, and we barely scratched the surface. And what we wanted to get into is there were so many crazy, colorful characters in this era in American history, which we're going to tell you about, who tried to sell people fake medicine, mainly by putting a lot of booze in it, that we thought we'd share those stories with you because they're really funny.
All right. Well, who do we have on the show today in this rogues gallery?
Well, first of all, let's refresh. What are patent medicines?
Well, Sydney, let me tell you. Patent medicines are like medicine, but they're full of garbage and they don't work.
That's right.
They don't have patents because they would have to reveal the ingredients, which included, but were not limited to, garbage. And alcohol and nonsense. But the alcohol is key for this, because some patent medicines would have as much as 50% alcohol. So if you're wondering why they were such a big hit, especially during the Prohibition era, now you know.
Yeah, this was a great way to skirt Prohibition, because you could just sell them at the local pharmacy, and they would literally sell some of them by the shot glass or have them on like tap. But be like, well, it's medicine, it's cool, don't worry, not alcohol. So during this time period, this was like the 1800s, early 1900s in American history, there were tons of guys who would just make a living going around and trying to sell you something. And they'd always have like a hook. They wanted something that would convince you that the medicine that they made is real and won't just get you drunk or high or whatever. Although that probably would have, they probably could have just told you that. Like,
it gets you drunk.
This doesn't work, but it will get you so turnt.
Yeah.
That's the word, right?
Yeah, you nailed it, babe.
Did I get it right?
Turnt. That's how you do it. We're parents. We're still cool. You don't have to laugh that hard.
I know what turnt means.
No, I'm serious. The baby's asleep. Please don't laugh that hard.
My 14-year-old sister had to explain to me what turned down for what meant. And I said, so is it like, it's sort of like asking the question, like, for what should I turn down? Like,
yeah, that's
like a, that.
That's
like,
exactly,
I had to, yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
So what was the hook of the folks we're talking about today?
So today we're going to talk about the Kickapoo Indian medicine show.
You ever heard Lil Abner? The Kickapoo Joy Juice and Lil Abner, yeah.
You know, Lil Abner, everybody's favorite
musical. Some Abner
musical,
heads
Lil
in
Abner.
The crowd. Any Andy Cap fans? As long as we're just lock horns, let me hear you.
So the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Show, and I'm gonna say Indian a lot because they were called the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Show. I realized that it should have been Kickapoo Native American Medicine Show, but they didn't know.
Indian,
so we're just gonna
Indian
go
as we're using it is actually like a shorthand that was used. I mean, it didn't mean Native American then either. It was like an idealized, like, their version of what Indian meant. So it actually helped. It's a helpful way of distinguishing between actual Native Americans that actually were real and didn't sell people garbage and alcohol.
There was this perceived notion at the time that the Native Americans, or the Indians, had this connection with the land that made them more in tune with like what would be good in your body, what kind of herbs and what kind of roots. And so if you could convince people that the recipes you were using were originally Native American recipes, then people were more likely to buy them. And that's exactly what
it's basically the Calgon play, right? Remember the ancient Chinese secret? Remember that ad? Like the exact same proposition.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's not a joke, but nobody remembers the Calgon ad I'm referring to. Myself, I only know of it because of Wayne's World, so.
This is two Wayne's World references. Two Wayne's World.
We did a show in Milwaukee last night and recited the entire Alice Cooper bit where he talks about Milwaukee, the good land. You can hear it later.
Anyway.
They really dug it or pretended to.
So, the two guys who ran the Kickapoo Indian Medicine Show, John Healy, who was, as far as I know, the only career he had before this was that he was a drummer boy in the Union Army.
Somebody
which is like
had to
a
do
weird
it.
Fact that we know. Like, I don't know if he put that on his resume. Like, I was in the military. Mm-hmm. I was a drummer boy.
I served. Served my country.
As a result.
My half of the country.
As a result, he sometimes... he sometimes went by Colonel Healy because of that. So, I don't think... I'm not in the military. I mean, I don't think that's the title you get
presumably
for being a drummer boy.
You could be promoted, though, right? That was a heck of a drum out there, man. You really... I was like, turn the beat around. I'm promoting that kid. He's great.
He converted that to Doc Healy, because why not?
Sure.
When he started as a young man selling medicines that other people made. So one of the first medicines that he started selling was actually one, King of Pain, was what it was called. Who we talked
Excellent.
About last night, who the Diamond King was the patent medicine salesman who was selling King of Pain. And at first, John Healy was like, well, I'll just start selling this stuff and see if I can get anywhere with it. It contained a ton of whiskey, so it was popular. But after a while, he really wanted to, you know, branch out on his own. Like, he had the entrepreneurial spirit. He wanted to make his own fake medicine. And he found his ticket when he ran into Texas Charlie Bigelow.
Was he from Texas?
Who cares?
Sure, okay.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But it sounded good.
Yeah.
He wore a big hat and boots and like he tried to sell the whole thing.
A sombrero?
No, like a cowboy hat.
Oh, like a cowboy hat, okay. There was a guy last night who wore a sombrero, sorry.
Yeah, no, this is Texas Charlie.
Texas Charlie with his cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was already selling so-called Indian cures to people, but he really wasn't making a big name for himself yet. It was like the magic of these two, Healy and Bigelow, got together. They sat in a hotel room one night and said, you know what? And they were probably really drunk, we can assume. We could your skills
supply.
As a drummer boy and with my
10-gallon
hat.
We've got something here. We're the Lennon McCartney of selling people garbage that gets them drunk.
They started out just trying to sell, everybody liked to sell liver pads. I talked about this last night too. Everybody liked to sell these things that would rejuvenate your liver, and they were basically like scraps of cloth with like glue and cayenne pepper on them. So it'd make your skin tingle. And they started off with that, and they weren't having much success. So they said, you know what? We need a backstory. That's the problem. We need this whole like myth that surrounds our products. Mm-hmm. So they decided that they were going to go with the Kickapoo Indian tribe, which really was, there really was a Kickapoo tribe. Now, the Native Americans that they would eventually recruit to their show and the products they made had nothing to do with the real Kickapoo Indians. They just thought it was a catchy name. So they were like,
and yeah. It is to this day.
So they put together their own tribe to work for them. So they started paying Native Americans, and some of them really were. Some of them were members of like the Iroquois tribe, the Mohawk, the Sioux tribes. Others were just non-Native Americans who maybe could pull it off. And then there were guys who were definitely white guys, but we're like, really, I'll do whatever. I need to make some money. And so they would like hire them too and say like, these are our Indian fighters who keep them in line.
You laugh, but Iron Eyes Cody was an Italian guy. From the, you know the ad where the Native American man is crying on the side of the road because you threw trash? Italian guy. I'm not making that up. Don't laugh. We were doing this trick in the 70s. Like, don't get all snooty. Some of you were alive then.
They really were. And they really, I think it's just a lot of people didn't know what all Native Americans necessarily look like. Like, a lot of people could pass themselves off and go, no, I'm just from a different tribe. And there wasn't the internet. So, like, you couldn't figure out they were lying. So there were really, like, Irish guys who were like, no, I'm totally part of the Kickapoos.
I've been here for forever. Ooh. I could tell you some stories about America.
So in order to start selling the medicines, Bigelow made up this whole backstory about how he once got lost in the woods and he injured himself and he got really sick and he was stuck and he was on the brink of death. And an Indian chief from the Kickapoo tribe found him and gave him this stuff that was called sagua. And this Kickapoo Indian sagua saved his life. And so now he wants to sell it to you. So what's in the sagua, you might want to know?
I don't have a list. Do you have a list?
No, I do. I'm going to tell you.
Oh, thank goodness. That was a scary few seconds for me.
Okay, you can't look.
Okay, I won't look.
Recite it.
Alcohol and garbage and maybe spearmint.
I mean, close. There's some stuff, you know, there's some like licorice root, there's some aloe, there's some dandelion root, there's lots of roots.
A big thing with patent medicines, a common thread that you'll find with patent medicine ingredients is that you wanted them to have some effect. So like the liver pads would put the cayenne. The most common though is that they would make you poop. So you would know like...
So senna, which is a laxative, was a major ingredient in Kickapoo Indian sagua.
Something's working in there, because like the bad stuff is gone. Something is happening to me. Something is working.
And it also had a lot of alcohol, so you wouldn't care. So it's like I've been in the bathroom all day.
And also you'd be in for a messy night.
So this was their biggest seller, which is, you'd think that the first time that somebody took it and they were like, no, seriously, don't. I've almost pooped myself to death. Don't take that stuff.
And I was hungover the next day. It was the pits.
But it took off. Everybody wanted some of it. And so they expanded that to other products. There was a Kickapoo buffalo salve. There was a Kickapoo Indian worm killer. Again, a lot of these things just contained some various roots and some oils and then a whole bunch of either a laxative or some alcohol. Either way, I guess you were lucky if you got the alcohol end of it.
Oh, that's a good one. That's the blend that works for me.
And initially, they were selling these they set up like a tent at a train station in Boston. They thought there'd be a high traffic area, and so they started selling them out of this tent. And they would have all the Native Americans they hired. That was why they were so successful, is because they would hang around there, and so they would go, oh, look, they're selling that stuff, and there's an Indian. It must be real.
Right.
And that was that took off. They made so much money that they decided to build what they would call their principal wigwam. the principal wigwam was actually just this huge warehouse that they rented. And they set it up like this really insulting Native American Disney World kind of thing. Like, you'd walk in, and there were teepees everywhere inside the building. And all of the...
unaware of the purpose of the wigwam, right? It's not like Native American people walk into a large room and they're like, this is just too big. I feel really exposed right now. I need a smaller structure within this structure to protect me. All Native Americans are agoraphobic. You heard it here first.
That's not true. Don't
it's
tell
It's not true. Don't tell your... No, it's not true.
We were going through our Christmas gift list over here at the McElroy household, and there were at least two folks this year that are getting Aura frames. Now, I can't tell you who because I don't want to spoil the surprise, but it is really hard to find gifts for people that you really care about and make it feel like personal, you know? But Aura is a really great way of doing that. It's a great digital photo frame. It is named the number one, actually, by Wirecutter, the strategist, Wired. We could go on. It's a really lovely gift to give to somebody. Maybe even if they're not like super tech savvy, you can set this photo frame up ahead of time. And then once it's there in their home, if you are out and about and you capture a memory you want to share, you can use the Aura app to just send it like directly to that frame. So like you're making the memories and you're sharing the memories like within minutes. Can you imagine? That's a lovely gift for somebody that you care about. They're going to be able to keep up with your life. And hey, if you've gotten them one before, maybe in another room. Maybe they could have a themed room. You know, in this room, I only want pictures of Justin. What a room that would be. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver mat frames named number one by Wirecutter by using promo code Sawbones at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Sawbones. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out fast, so order yours now to get in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code Sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
So they would they had their teepees set up. They would have like campfires. They would have big pots where they were pretending to mix up the cures that they were making, so that
you say it's kind of like Walt Disney. It is exactly like Epcot. Like that is precise. Like oh, yo, Mexico. Yeah, there's margaritas at every stand. They cost $8, and there's a log flume that goes down an Aztec temple. That's Mexico for you in a nutshell.
So this was America. This is essentially the right. America land.
And was there a gift shop?
Yeah, of course there was a gift shop.
Oh, sorry.
Obviously. There had to be a place where you could buy the medicines that you were watching them brew in front of you. And then just all kinds of like Native American trinkets and knickknacks and things. And none of this was real stuff because there were very few actual Native Americans working for them. And the ones who were probably not invested in like, oh, I really want to share my culture with you.
Right.
Because you're lying about who I am.
Right. I want to help you really nail the mythos of my people.
You're just doing this to sell people laxatives. So I'm not going to put a lot of effort into it. But they would draw more crowds because this was a place all the tourists could come. So they would draw more crowds by putting their Native American salespeople in full dress and put them on horses, and they would just ride around town, and then people would follow them. I guess.
How boring was the town? Oh man, That's the coolest thing I've seen all day. I am totally going to follow that guy. I don't know where he's going, but I'm into it. It's got to be better than what I'm doing. I'm playing that stupid stick hoop game. I'm going with that guy. Wait for me.
It's got to be more fun than I've just been pooping nonstop for the last 3 days.
I've been drunk pooping for 2 days, and Pedialyte won't be invented for 100 years, to say nothing of Gatorade.
For their female customers, they had a mascot that they developed that was specifically aimed at them. Her name was Little Bright Eyes. She was an Indian princess.
Who did really sad indie music. Very mopey. Nothing for Iron Eyes Cody, but Bright Eyes. Yeah! Love that guy.
But Little Bright Eyes had lots of pamphlets and special medicines for your female complaints. So don't worry, ladies. She's got your back.
She's got your back.
Again, mainly just like with laxatives and stuff. But
it's laxatives and alcohol, but still.
Feminine laxatives. They come in like pink boxes.
Right.
That's what we like. They also had all kinds of like magazines they would sell. They had like children's books and like, I guess, what at the time would have been like a coffee table book. I don't know, was this before coffee tables?
It's a medical history show. I can't get them with furniture too.
So they had like big picture books like The Life and Scenes Among the Kickapoo Indians, which was all fake. Like all these pictures they were probably taken in the warehouse.
Right.
And they would sell them to people so you could have pictures of fake Indians on your coffee table or whatever table. And they had like a Kickapoo Indian dream book with like all of these mystical stories that were told by the Kickapoo Indians that you could lull your children to sleep with.
I bet if the real Kickapoo Indian dream book was published, it would basically just be, "Today I dreamed that white guy died in the most horrific way imaginable. Sincerely, Jebediah O'Leary." Because he was an Irish guy pretending to be.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
It was a rich fiction.
Jebediah O'Leary. This got so big that at one point they had, the number that I saw was 880 Native Americans or Native Americans in their employ.
Wow.
So this was huge.
Hey, and job creation, though. You can't knock that.
And in addition to...
I guess?
In addition to their medicine shows, they also franchised the name because a lot of people... And that was really common at the time period. Other patent medicine salesmen would see something taking off and want to like, well, I want to do the same thing, but I don't want to get in trouble. So they would just like, for instance... Sagwa was spelled S-A-G-W-A, and somebody would like add an H in there somewhere and say like, no, it's cool, this is mine, it's different.
You know, when you start seeing Cronuts but with five O's, it's like, all right, I get it.
Those are just the same thing? Aww.
Oh, I know.
They're special.
You thought that Cronut I got you at Dunkin' Donuts was the real deal, but no.
Cronut.
See, it's...
That was a really good one.
It was really cute. Go ahead.
So they franchised their name because they were like, people are going to try to rip us off anyway. We're going to make them pay up front. And it was a really small fee, but a lot of people latched on to it. And then they were selling more of their own product anyway. So they kept getting, you know, I don't know what kind of deal they worked out, if it was like a percentage of the franchise fee.
Something.
Like,
something. Some free bottles of alcohol and garbage.
Sale. I don't know. Anyway, so they made more money. And that actually spread not just to the U.S., but to Europe and Australia. There were Kickapoo Indian medicine shows there, too, which is crazy. In addition, at the local pharmacy, they would sell all the stuff. So, like, they would take their medicine show into a town, and they would sell all of their goods at the pharmacy. And usually the way they would do that is they would go to the pharmacist and say, hey, take all that other fake stuff off the shelf, put our fake stuff on the shelf.
Our real fake stuff.
Yeah, and right. We will give you some money. And the pharmacist was like, whatever, I don't know. None of this works
anyway.
None of
this works. It's all lies.
I just went into this because, you know, we can't sell alcohol right now, and this is a really easy way to have access to
this
it.
This isn't even a real register. It's made of cardboard.
When they did do their, because we've talked a lot about their medicine shows, and I think most people, from if you listen to our show, you've probably heard us talk about medicine shows before, but if you haven't, So these medicine shows were really like traveling circuses or carnivals. They would come into town, and it would be the huge event. Like
it would be the biggest entertainment thing going on for weeks.
Yeah, months, years sometimes. I mean, they were huge events. Everybody would come, you know, the adults, the kids, because there was entertainment for everyone. So there would be, you know, movies, which a lot of people hadn't seen movies, so there'd be a movie and you could go see it. There'd be people singing and dancing. They would do all kinds of, again, probably really insulting, like traditional Kickapoo Indian like dances, and they would perform like wedding ceremonies for the fake Indians to get fake married.
That seems like a bridge too far.
Occasionally they would have one of the Native Americans who actually was from some tribe, you know, wasn't Irish, was actually Native American, stand up and give a speech in their native language, and then one of the white guys would interpret it for everyone and just, of course, make it up completely. And it would always be like, oh, and he says that the medicine will heal the wounds from the animals of the earth. And the, yeah, I don't know.
This. I bet, you know, they were just saying, I want to kill this white guy.
Well, that was the thing, is that what they wrote about, because a lot of the ways we know about this stuff is because the guys like Helium Bigelow and other people who ran the shows wrote these histories of it, of themselves. Those are the kind of guys they were. And they noted that the other Native Americans would all kind of chuckle because, you know that guy, that's what he was saying, was like, this white guy is an idiot. He's a complete fool.
There was one,
and I'm
you
really
know there
embarrassed.
Was one guy, like one super educated guy in the back of the crowd, like, what? This is an outrage.
One of the guys who worked for their medicine show, who wasn't one of their fake Kickapoo Indians, but another one of their salesmen, I feel like we should talk about just for a second.
Okay.
His name was Nevada Ned. That could be enough right there. But Nevada Ned was already selling patent medicines, and then he got hooked up with Helium Bigelow because he liked their style. He liked their hat.
He liked their poison garbage alcohol.
And his specialty was, he said, you know what, I want to help you sell this stuff, and I've already kind of got my own line. I'll just, if you don't mind, I'll use some of the Kickapoo name, and like we'll pretend like they were also made by your fake Indians, and they all have cocaine in them, so they sell really well.
Super wild.
Yeah. So he sold medicines just filled with cocaine. He wore, at all times,
I can't get any more cocaine in this bottle. I've tried. Trust me. It was full to the brim. State maximum cocaine in here.
At all times, Nevada Ned would wear $3,000 worth of diamonds on his person somewhere.
That's cool.
He carried two gold-mounted, mother-of-pearl-handed revolvers,
cool.
Always.
Good luck.
And he used $10 gold pieces as buttons.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Like his style.
In his spare time, which I'm guessing he had a lot of, because he probably did a lot of cocaine, so he didn't waste it sleeping.
Not a lot of sleep. Right.
He wrote crime fiction.
Most of it, I'm assuming, autobiographical. You'll never believe who I ripped off today.
So Nevada Ned didn't last very long in the whole patent medicine biz because he got really hooked on his own medicines.
No, wait, cocaine's addictive? Why didn't you warn me before I did all that cocaine backstage?
Not with our daughter here. So anyway.
Got a little too real there for a second, guys. I'm sorry. Woof. The road's tough. That's all I'm saying. We've done, gosh, it seems like 3 shows now in the past 3 days, and the road's tough. It takes a toll. I destroyed backstage. They didn't have the gummy bears I requested. I flipped the whole.
We really wanted on our rider, we said, we need as many of these little crunchies, which are these little cheese puffs for babies. We need as many as you can carry, and there were none. And
the baby loves them. And I also asked him for stage 2 prunes. Nothing.
We're kidding. They've been very nice to
They've
us.
They've been very nice. What?
One thing.
Yes.
Before we finish. You're probably wondering. You're probably wondering, did these guys ever get in trouble?
Yeah.
I mean, because they were selling people, you know, alcoholic laxatives and cocaine, and all of it was made up. And eventually, all of the patent medicine guys got in trouble because the FDA was created, and they were like, listen, you can't just, this is, no, you're killing people, and you're making them poop themselves to death, and we've got to stop you. And there were laws, and they started putting the ingredients on packaging, blah, blah, blah. But the Kickapoo guys got out of it pretty much scot-free. They got in trouble one time. They made a Kickapoo cough syrup. And this was one of the last new products they came out with, and it was around the time when they started actually, like, chemists were looking at what was in this stuff and then printing, you know, this is what you're taking in your body, stop. And it was analyzed, and then the American Medical Association looked at it and said, basically, this was their quote, it did not possess properties recognized by the medical profession as necessary for the proper treatment of the lungs in any way. So at that point, they were fine. They finally got in trouble, and they were fined $25.
That'll put a stop to those crooks. Thank you so much, Chicago, for having us here to your lovely city. It's beautiful. Thank you to the Athenium. Everyone here has been super nice. They got the right gummy bears. I was just kidding. They nailed it. There are posters, by the way. Make sure you buy some posters because they're just for this show, specific for this show. Sid, is there anything else you want me to say? Thank you to our daughter, Charlie, if you're listening to this in the future, for being so chill for the past 3 days. We really appreciate that.
I hope she's still chill. I don't know.
Thank you to Harry the Bunny and Peekaboo and the Color Crew for helping keep our daughter entertained. We really appreciate that. Thank you to you, Sydney, for being so understanding and nursing our baby in a lot of weird rooms over the past few days. Do appreciate that.
Once again, thank you so much for, we hope you like these live shows. We know we've had some spotty quality in live shows before in terms of audio quality.
But
not
I think
these
were pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good. Hope you liked them. We'll be back next week with another normal episode. Until then, take care.
And that's going to do it for us, folks. Until next time we have a medicine issue to talk about. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.